And this is Rhode Island Public Radio political reporter Ian Donis. This is a live political roundtable coming to you from the home of the Rhode Island Foundation in Providence. We're talking with the Republican candidates for governor, Alan Fung and Ken Block, with my colleague, Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay, and our regular panelist on our weekly political roundtable, URI political science professor Maureen Moakley. And Maureen has the next question.
All right, I'd like to continue on talking about executive gubernatorial leadership in the city, specifically Providence. This week, we've seen a spike in violence as a result of that, the NAACP asking for a five-point program. And as the governor, to what extent would you heed or give leadership to some of these questions of violence, job training, and specifically state money towards solving some of the problems, specifically in Providence, in the minority community? Mr. Block.
Yeah. Listen, crime escalates with a decrease in opportunity. We know this is true. There's a lot of research that shows that. We have to create opportunity in this state. We have to create the environment, not just for jobs to come back, but for our youth to be well-educated. And we know we have an educational challenge, especially in our urban districts. As far as funding is concerned, the biggest threat to every social service spending program that we have is the four-year, out-year projected budget deficit of $400 million. I'm the only candidate talking about that crisis. I'm the only candidate with the skills and the tools necessary to find the savings that we need to meet that challenge and to keep our social services programs functioning well.
Has the violence in Providence changed in any way your evolutionary thinking about gun control? You said you've evolved. In other words, you've been educated by people that support guns, and you've changed your position.
It hasn't, because most of those, and I don't have the figures, but as I understand it, the majority of the crimes committed with guns were committed by criminals who didn't own the guns legally in the first place.
Mr. Fung, would you address that question and also how you would provide gubernatorial leadership for the situation in Providence?
You know, it is a very disturbing trend that you're seeing. And I grew up in the streets of South Providence, so I have that unique perspective seeing that, but also a unique perspective of seeing, as a former criminal prosecutor, you know, some of the people that have come through the system, particularly the youth. And we really have to find engagement opportunities for particularly the youth so that their job opportunities for them, their job training opportunities, as well as after-school programs that you're talking about. Many of those issues that the NAACP had put on the table, whether it's through the programs locally or even any type of job training programs that can be done through the state, through some of the dollars that we receive from the federal dollars, it has to be done because it's about opportunities. I've seen it firsthand with the youth. If you keep them busy, they're not just hanging around, but it's also a combination of the high unemployment rate that we're seeing. If you create a better environment in the state, getting people back to work, getting them into programs, that will help solve a lot of the problems.
How about your position on guns?
No, and that evolved naturally over time as well, because when I first grew up in Providence and saw a lot of what was going on in the cities, my parents taught me, don't touch a gun. And I evolved over time where my direct administration taught me about firearms back in 2009, even before I jumped into any gubernatorial race. And since then, it's evolved. And I've learned, even as a prosecutor, that the real issue is focusing on criminals and those with serious mental health issues. And that's where the restrictions really need to be in
place. One other follow-up. In terms of the problems in Providence and some of the fiscal problems, the GOP candidate for mayor has recommended or said that we should consider letting Providence go bankrupt. How do you respond to that?
Yeah, first of all, bankruptcy should be a tool that's on the table, but I don't think that's an option. You know, you see, when you take Central Falls as a case point and model, you can use that as an example, but also use it in many of your discussion points, just like what we did in Cranston about and achieve pension reform that way. Because we were able to sit down across the table with, say, for instance, the retirees, because that pension issue was a problem that we inherited that's been around Cranston for numerous generations. Use Central Falls as an example to create that dialogue and say, look, we need your help to come to the table and achieve reforms to stabilize that system, which we probably did.
Do you think that you can persuade people to go along with that, Mr. Block, or would you consider bankruptcy?
We need creative solutions to the problems that we have, not just in Providence, but statewide. The challenge in Providence, again, is the fact that we can't interest any business to build private jobs on the 195 land, and we lost 1,000 jobs out of the Superman building. The solution to that problem is to make the Superman building and all of the 195 land a 2% corporate tax zone, which makes us nationally competitive to large businesses. There should be corporate headquarters on that land, and we can get it if we think outside the box. The 22,000 acres of cow pasture and cow manure outside of North Carolina was turned into a special economic development zone, and it's now Research Triangle, one of the most successful concentrations of high tech in the world. We can replicate that kind of success, not on that scale, but on these 20 acres and in that building, we can make it appealing to business and we can bring the jobs back here, which begins to solve the fiscal problems that we have.
Mr. Fung, 30 seconds. What would you do to stimulate more interest in the vacant Superman building and the former I-195 land?
You know, first of all, I am a limited government person. I wouldn't support a special deal to the extent that what was proposed originally. I think what we have to do is let the developer work with what they're having to create a comprehensive plan for that building that fits within the Providence landscape. That's what we did in Cranston, working with the developer when they took over Chapel View and the former state properties that was there, converted into that mixed-use development, and helping him put together that vision of how it grows, and you're seeing it really pop. So I really believe that less government involvement, less pressures on them, letting the developers really take control and run with it, and guiding them with less regulation is the way to go.
Let's stay with Alan Fung here. As your opponent said a short time ago, Rhode Island will face a structural deficit of hundreds of millions of dollars within a few years. What would your approach be for cutting that down to size, particularly given how you'd be working with a Democratic-controlled General Assembly that often makes significant changes to the governor's budget?
You know, I've tackled these issues before, and that's where the real results, real reforms in Cranston have come to be, because I have had to work with an overwhelmingly Democratic
legislative body. Okay, specifically, where would you cut to cut that structural deficit
Let's
down?
Just take a look at even the $200 million tax reduction plan that I put forward. I supported it with cuts, 5% personnel cuts
Is that a good idea to do across-the-board cuts when you might be cutting restaurant inspectors who make sure food is safe and so forth?
It's how you cut, Ian. And I think the question has to be, just like what we did in Cranston, find efficiencies. If you can roll up dual responsibilities into one person working more efficiently, let's do it. If we can work together with other cities and towns, or in this instance, as governor, work together with other states to realize efficiencies, let's do it. You can realize personnel cuts. You always have to look for through performance budgeting, zero-based budgeting, the best results based upon what's needed in front of you at that time. And I'd focus my priorities on the economy, infrastructure, and education, and then build the rest of the budget around it and make cuts in personnel, limit our growth to the cost of inflation instead of what they're projecting right now at approximately 4%, and continue to find efficiencies in government. I've done it in Cranston.
Ken Block, you say you've been ringing a bell about Rhode Island's ominous structural deficits. What would your plan be? Where specifically would you cut to improve that situation?
So we have, first of all, I'd like to address the mayor's $200 million tax cut quickly. On his website, he talks about applying a $70 million budget surplus this year to pay for $70 million out of the $200 million of his tax cuts. But we don't have a $70 million budget. We have a $150 million budget deficit. And when I talk about facts and figures and when I talk about the importance of honest numbers, this is a critical thing. Another $13 million of his $200 million, he's booking savings from not paying the 38 Studios bonds, something that we've seen the General Assembly is hell-bent to do at this point in time.
All right, let's hold you there. So, what do you say to that, Alan Fung? Your opponent is saying your plan, the numbers don't work.
No, it actually does work, because it's even a little bit generous, because what he's not focusing on, the fact is, you know, it comes out to the $200 million in cuts that we have for the $200 million. However, we're also going to realize once we get people back to work, getting a better environment, you're going to realize more additional revenue coming in from the income tax. And when people are working, they're going to more likely go out and spend money on the retail side and in our restaurants.
But so what about, booming what up about on the $70 million surplus you were banking on that isn't there?
There is a surplus, but you're reinvesting that surplus, rolling it over into the next budget year, and that's going to create more dollars coming in if you're creating a healthier environment.
Ken Block, let's get back to my initial question about the structural deficit. What is your plan for cutting that down to size or making an improvement? Where specifically would you cut?
Sure. Realizing efficiencies in how government operates is a critical thing. A great number of our state employees still fill out a paper-based timesheet every week. A gigantic stack of paper moves through our state government on a weekly basis. It's filled out with paper and ink, and then someone eventually types it into a computer. Our best guess at the cost of this is somewhere between $10 and $20 million a year. Money that we should not be spending. That should all be computerized. We should get the state government operating in the 20th century. The federal government estimates that 7% of Medicaid dollars are waste and fraud. We spend more than $2 billion a year on Medicaid. That means $140 million is not achieving its intended purpose, and some of it is outright stolen from us. We only find on a good year less than $10 million of that $140 million. We need to do better. We need to be a better shepherd of taxpayer dollars. What the people of Rhode Island need is for government to spend their tax dollars as carefully as each and every one of you spends your own money. When we get there, we're going to be able to pay for government far better and much more efficiently than we do now.
For our next question, back to Scott McKay.
Just wondering, why does anybody in Rhode Island need an assault weapon? Mr. Block?
Assault weapons are not illegal.
I understand that, but why does anyone need one? You don't shoot a duck or a deer with an assault weapon.
I don't own one. I don't own a gun, so I can't answer that question one way or the other. But what I don't believe you do in government is impose rules and regulations and laws in ways that don't necessarily make sense.
Mr. Fung?
Yeah, for me, Scott, I don't think we should focus on the weapon. Yeah, I think the root of the issue is focusing on the person. And then, from what I see, a lot of times it's the criminal or those with the serious mental health issues and how they're getting access to the weapons. And the real root cause of the problem has to be addressed, not just focusing on, you know, the type of firearm.
Yeah, but the police are a little upset that sometimes the criminals have better guns than the police do. What do we do about that?
Well, make sure that our police have the proper equipment that's there, and that's and
you
that's
don't get them
no.
In
all
guns.
Serious, in all seriousness, Scott, and that's one of the things that, you know, as chief executives, you have to empower and make sure that your officers, your firefighters, your public works department have the necessary tools to accomplish their jobs.
You got to take away those ticket books, though.
Okay, let's go to Maureen Moakley.
I'd like to ask you your opinions on Health Source Rhode Island. We had the Democratic candidates in here last week, and they all supported it, and they felt as if we were moving in the right direction. There's been commentary from Republicans that talk about this as a socialist plot. We know now that more uninsured people have insurance and that emergency room visits have gone down. How do you respond as a chief executive to the question of continuing to support this program or pulling the plug? Mr. Block.
Well, first of all, the ACA is the law of the land. You can't dissolve the ACA as governor of Rhode Island. What you can do, though, is make sure that the cost of the program is as efficient and affordable as it can be. I severely question whether it's cost us whether it should cost us $24 million a year to run a health exchange. I believe that that's exorbitant. I do large computer system contracting in my business, and I can assure you that $24 million buys you a lot more than what I understand the exchange to do right now. As governor, I will look very carefully at the cost of the exchange, and I'm also an entrepreneur. If we can sell our working exchange to other states that don't have working exchanges, we can reduce the cost of running our own exchange, and I will investigate that vigorously. Maybe we should merge our exchange with a neighboring state and achieve some level of larger buying power than we can get as a tiny little state. There's a lot of things we can do that I don't think we've investigated fully yet.
Well, some people are talking about expanding coverage so that large businesses and other entities can use the exchange. Would you support that, even within Rhode Island?
I'd have to really look at what the cost benefit. Look, as a small business owner who buys health insurance for my employees and their families, I'm spending roughly $17,000 a year to buy a health insurance plan for each of the families that I insure. And I have very highly paid employees, and the percentage of health insurance cost relative to what I pay them is almost unsustainable at this point. We have a crisis in this country about affordable health care, and we don't really have an answer to that challenge yet. We need an answer to it.
Mr. Fung, what kind of executive leadership would you provide for this whole situation?
You know, one of the things I've always focused on the finances and finding a dollar efficiencies. And one of the concerns I've always had with that exchange, not only just the administrative cost that we're talking about, because that is a lot of dollars, the anywhere between $20 to $26 million that have been talked about. We've got to find a more efficient way to run that exchange at a less cost to the taxpayers. But what's also kind of not being discussed right now that we have to focus on is the increased claims costs, because healthcare, that's the root, you know, part of the problem is the increased claims costs, and we're seeing some associated increases on our Medicaid budget. So when you add those two costs together, that means more payments from the taxpayers of Rhode Island, and I'm not sure that's the right solution. And on the adding more larger employers, I'm worried about adding even more costs and mandates on any employers during these difficult times. So healthcare is a real difficult issue, but I would find more cost efficiencies. And if we can't find the cost efficiencies as governor, consider moving the exchange back to the federal government.
Well, Mr. Block talked about the fact that you could use the exchange to, you know, for economies of scale. I'm
yes.
talking about letting big businesses in the state use it and or merging. What would you say to that?
Well, we're also seeing the private sector, you know, develop their own private exchanges as well. So I tend to see healthcare is a very complicated issue. And if we can have more insurers in here, developing exchanges, offering more choices, it wouldn't be just like one system. You know, what Mr. Block was talking about is something that we can definitely explore too, whether or not the exchange can be better utilized for revenue opportunities, working with other states because we are functioning, if we can get revenues. But the most important thing is finding cost efficiencies and how we can do it.
Mr. Block, you support a convening a constitutional convention, correct?
Absolutely.
Give us 30 seconds on why that's a good idea.
We need fundamental change in this state, much more than what we've accomplished so far. I used to have to talk about the need to get rid of the master lever in a constitutional convention, but thankfully we got that job taken care of this year, and I was one of the leaders to get that done. The reason we need a constitutional convention is mostly for this one reason. It's an important one. We are only one of six states in the country that does not give our governor the power of the line item veto, the ability to go through a budget and take individual elements out of that budget. Some of the worst legislating that we gets tucked into the budget.
Okay. Alan Fung, do you share your opponent's belief that a constitutional convention is the right way to go?
Yes. I've supported a constitutional convention, most importantly, to provide more checks on our General Assembly. And this is where it's critically important that we first get the General Assembly back under the Ethics Commission control, put term limits on General Assembly members. And yes, I also support a line item veto to empower the governor to have more opportunities to veto anything that the General Assembly may be going overboard in their budget.
Okay, we're going to take a brief pause here. This is a special live political roundtable from the Rhode Island Foundation. When we come back, you'll hear the two Republican gubernatorial candidates grill each other. We'll be right back.